I want to thank the Lord for giving us this life once again and to come here and taking the privilege and opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Here, as a humble man and very a little person in the Lord, as not a learned man, but only a learned brother in Christ, I just want to share something which could be very important for us. And also, when I finish this Word of God, any brother can come and follow up that thing. So, I was reading this assembly communicated today about this 92-year-old preacher. So last time, as I was saying, that we Christians have no retirement. As long as we live, we work for Him, for His glory. So in this regard, please forgive me if my English is not good or clear, okay? And you can correct me. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read everything on this chapter, but my app is going to read that for you. So all you have to do is just listen to it.
Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith,
when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Thank the Lord. I think you have understood better than if I had read it. You might have not understood that all, but I hope you understood that. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Our God, Father, we want to thank you for this moment, and we want to be thankful so much that you have sent us your only begotten Son to die for us and to be crucified, and to shed the blood to cleanse all our unrighteousness and sins. And now he is risen and is on your right hand side of God with all power and authority, intercessing our prayers and worship and dwelling in the highest place. We want to give you thanks for this, the Word of God and the technology. And thank you for making me humble and everyone as well. So as I speak, let it not be mine but yours, and let my mouth be an oracle of God. So help me and help others, and even though it's a short message, I let everyone hear in peace and love and joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my dear saints, I read all this Ephesians chapter 4, and literally we were able to understand what a great our God is, because he has given us his Spirit as a comforter to help us despite all these confusions, all these problems and divisions and unpeace in our mind and so much of bitterness in our life. But most importantly, we as a representative of God from heaven to this earth, we have a great job which needs to be accomplished by each and every one. It is not that one has to be assigned to do it. This is a free gift where everybody should possess, as we read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, 20. It says, go. It doesn't say, pastor, go, or evangelist, go, or ministers, go, or you, or old man, or young man. No, it says, go. That means here, each and every one of us as a Christian, a born-again Christian, have this privilege. I don't say it's a responsibility. It's a privilege, an opportunity to work for him and getting the reward for the heaven, for his glory, to receive the crown of glory and the crown of righteousness. So I'm not going to focus everything, every details, Lord willing, the other brothers can do, or maybe next time, but the steadfastness, like in verse Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, I want to make it this one as a point, 11 and 12 and the rest. But here it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these are the gifts. It says some. That means not everyone can become apostles, or everyone can become a prophet, or everyone can become evangelists, or the pastors and teachers. Why is that? Because till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that it helps us in the church that we come together to work for Him, for His glory. It says it's edify the body of Christ. We are the member of the body of Christ. We cannot say, little finger, I don't need you, or nose, I don't need you, mouth, you know, all the... It is so designed that we cannot be complete without all these organs and all these things, the parts of the body. We know that when you have some kind of thorns in your little fingers, whole body will get fever. Have you ever noticed that? It's not the finger that affects, but the whole body. And that makes you so sick that you have to be in the bed. So, two things. Of course, all things are very important for the edification of the church. But two things I want to reiterate. That is, evangelists and the pastors. So, as we all know that evangelist, the work of the evangelist, he goes to, you know, there's no distinct place for him. He goes on, preach the word of God, and then he brings those souls to the church. Am I right? So, it's a gift. I mean, in some denominations, they assign, they give a certificate that, okay, you are now evangelist, you are pastors. But God has given each and every one of us a gift of evangelist. Have you ever thought about that? Because you cannot say, I'm not evangelist, so I cannot preach the word of God. I can't. I don't know. You know. But the Bible says, if you just believe in His name, you'll be saved. So, if you say, Jesus Christ can save you, Jesus Christ loves you, that's a preaching, that's the evangelist. And you cannot stop there. You'll continue what happened to Jesus Christ and how He rose from the dead, how He's on the right hand side of God. So, that will continue. But this one, we don't need any degrees, any qualifications. All we have to do is we have to be humble, read the word of God, pray before you go to speak to the person. And then, remembering that you are just the little dust of this world. You're nothing more greater, you know? So, this one, the evangelist, it has to be inside of us, no matter who you are, no matter how qualified you are, no matter where you're working. So, are we ready for evangelists to work? Are we ready to preach the word of God, which is so important that God entrusted us, go to the nations. So, what happens if you preach the word of God to the lost? That is the point where you start collecting your rewards. Even if a cup of water, a cold water is given to the disciples, the rewards are not cast away. It's recorded in the book of life. So that means if you bring the lost souls to the Lord, I don't say to the church, to the Lord, the whole heaven is happy with joy. It's like a grand party, you know? So the angels are happy. They sing a song. They rejoice for one person who are in Christ. So have we ever tried to bring that lost soul? Have we ever given our life sacrificed for himself? Have you ever told to your friend, your colleague, your whoever you get a chance to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Some may don't like you, some may criticize you, you know, some may hate you. But in the day of judgment, when in the white throne, when you receive the reward, that then the Lord will definitely tell us. You had the opportunity to tell him or her. Why didn't he tell you? You know? Why didn't you proclaim the good news? So what we can say? Because to live is Christ. That means we are living for Christ, not for this world. We are not after the world's system or the world's wealth. We do need money, but money is not God. God is the one who is the creator of money, people, the wealth, everything, the jewels, gold, silver. And as Brother Luke was showing us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All things shall be added unto you. So we don't need gold by asking God, give me gold and he will give us gold. No. Paul says, be content what you have. So it's all being content. So the importance of evangelism never ends. Till the last breath, we can still, on our deathbed, on the side, we can still preach the person on the right hand side or the left hand side, saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there could be more the talks on this evangelism, but if the Lord leads, we will talk about it later on, more about that. Next thing is pastor. Pastor is a pasco, pastu. It's a, in other words, is to feed. And the pastor is also called as a shepherd. We know our shepherd, the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good shepherd as well. What did he do? He left the 99 righteous person to go after the scattered, disabled, ruined, backslided person who left the company of the Lord, the circle of the Lord, in like a prodigal son departed. You know? So he was doomed. He had nothing to do. He was helpless. And he was somewhere suffering in agony, in distress. He has forgotten the Lord. He has forgotten his people, his sins. But what did Lord did? He left aside the righteous people. And he went after the lame, the wicked person, the chief of the sinner, the blind, whatever you have called all those negative things of the humankind. Since from the beginning, we know that how the human started. So, it is the pastor, the overseer, in other words, that looks after the sheep. He tends the sheep. He takes the sheep into a great pasture. Psalm 23, right? David wrote that Lord is my shepherd. So, this is also very important in the church. If we don't have the heart of the pastor, we will lose the sheep to the wolf. For example, if I have a shepherding heart, if someone doesn't come to the church, I would be very, you know, curious about what happened, you know, what happened to them? Why they didn't come to the church? Maybe they are sick, or maybe they had some problem, you know? So immediately, you call them. It doesn't mean that, oh, Brother Ken has to call, or Brother Luke has to call, or Brother Norris has to call, or anybody, Brother Colin. Any one of you can be a pastor. You can call them, you can inquire about them. Hey, how are you? You know, how are you doing? Is there anything I can help? So, not everyone is given the gift, but some. We never know. There may be lots of pastors here, you know? So, God has given this gift. For example, if you give a gift to me, you know, wrapped in a, you know, gift paper. For example, Brother Luke gave me something in a gift wrap paper. Only Brother Luke knows what's inside. But you and me will never know unless I open and see. If I say, just keep it aside and say, oh, I'll just check later on, you know. I'm not even bothered to look at the gift of Brother Luke. But when I open it, then I see, wow, it was such a good gift. Likewise, God has given us a gift. And maybe we have not still opened it to use in the church, in a family or individual life to edify the church or our family. So, every one of us are given a gift. No one is without a gift. But the gift needs to be opened and needs to be used. So, I would encourage you that if we start doing this, including me, you know, to see, to watch, and see how the people, how the believers are doing, and instructing them, teaching them. Nowadays, everybody wants to be a teacher. Everybody likes to teach people, you know. Everybody likes to say something. And in Brethren especially, we have thousands of teachers. But unfortunately, we lack these two things. In my hometown, I would always be discouraged. Because when people come in, no bother. But in America, it's something different. I like it. At least we say, oh, hi, brother. You know? But in our place, who cares? And I talked about that. And they were like, oh, if they are interested, they will come again. Why bother? Because they don't have the shepherding heart. You know? So, it should come within ourselves. We should think it as a gift from God. You don't have to go to theology schools to get the degree to become pastors. Anybody, even if David was a pastor, he became a king. So, as we go speaking, there's no end. The word of God is so vast. John says, even if I write, the whole world cannot, you know, cover it. So, I want to keep it here. And maybe next time, Lord willing. And I was very happy to get this because of this 92-year-old. 92 old preacher. That means to live is Christ. So he's making good use of his life. You know? So, as we believe that our Christ as a personal Savior. He died on the cross. He's everything to me. We are the strangers and the pilgrims. We have nothing to do with this world. It's the lost people. Then there's a joy and peace. And we always like to come to church, no matter what, you know? Because God says, if two or three gathers in my name, I'm in their midst. What happens if when we are gathered together and the Lord comes? How good thing it is that we all together be gone to the Lord, you know? It doesn't mean that if we're not together and the Lord comes, we will not go. It's not like that. But how pleasant. One elderly brother, I forgot his name. He was worshiping and he passed out. What a wonderful, you know? He was magnifying the Lord and the Lord received him. What a good timing for him, you know? No suffering, nothing. So we don't have to wait till 92 years to become, you know, and then start preaching. You know, let us do it right now. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is a God. We do not know what tomorrow brings. So if you have the opportunity, let us preach the word of God to the lost. And let us take the seed to the green field, feed him, teach him, nurture him, abide him, and bring together for the edification of the church. So, Lord, help us. I don't know how much time I've taken, but forgive me. And if there's any brothers who can continue to this, that will be nice. So, please pray for me and pray for Abby and the little Julia girl, and Lord willing, she's very fine now. She's doing good. Thank you for your prayer. Without your prayer, this would not have been possible. Not even doctors can heal that thing. So we will pray for each other and continue to communicate and see for each other till the Lord comes or we go to the Lord. So thank you very much for your time. God help.
I could just read a few verses as we close from 2 Timothy. It's such a great reminder of the the provision that the Lord has given the church by giving us those spiritual gifts. Brother Kazi read those verses that said, according to His grace, He has given these gifts. It's really gracious of Him to not leave us stranded. And we may sometimes feel weakness, personal weakness, but also weakness as an assembly. And I've even heard some will lament the weakness of the assembly. And I think we should be careful when we do that, because we remember, you know, the church is the body of Christ. He's the head, and He's never weak. And so we oftentimes we just need to open our eyes to the strength that's already there and walk in His power. I was just thinking of these verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that echo some of what we saw in Ephesians. And as Paul was nearing the end of his life, this is probably his last book, or one of the last books that he wrote, and speaking to a younger man, he had a lot to say as far as encouragement and, you might say, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And I think that's what Brother Kazi is doing. He's urging us on to open that gift and to use it. So I thought I'd just read a few verses here from the beginning of chapter 4. I charge you, and look at the way that he begins this statement. Very interesting. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. So you have five things that he mentions, sort of to give weight to what he's about to say. In other words, I'm not just saying this. It's not some flippant thing. But he gives a charge, and he gives it weight by mentioning these five things. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. And then he mentions the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, but also by His appearing and His kingdom. All five of those things give weight to what he's about to say. And he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching or doctrine. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Did you notice that idea of wandering off? And this time is not just coming, but the time is here where we have people wandering off into myths. And I think of that sheep. You know, sheep are easily, they'll stray, and they'll hear something over here, and then they'll just turn off in that direction, thinking the grass is going to be greener over there. And so Paul knew this. He knew that there was false teachers coming into the church. And he was telling Timothy ahead of time, be ready, because some will not be ready for what you're about to say, but that doesn't mean just let them lie. When they wander off, you go after them. Have that heart of a pastor, of a shepherd. He says here, do the work of an evangelist. And so there's some discussion about whether Timothy was he had the gift of an evangelist, or he was just supposed to do the work of an evangelist even if he wasn't a quote-unquote evangelist. I think that brings in some of what Kazi was saying. Although there may be someone who we know from looking at them and the fruit of their ministry, they've been specially gifted with the ability to preach the gospel in a way that people can easily understand and they respond. But each one of us, because we have the gift of the gospel, has been called to share that gift, right? So I think Timothy, whatever his giftedness, he was, in fulfilling his ministry, part of that was preaching the gospel. And so just to echo what's already been said, that we would have a real desire to use our gifts for the Lord and for His glory, whatever that may look like. Sometimes it will be rewarded by those around us and by those who we're sharing with. I remember there was a sister, an older sister in Fort Lauderdale, when I first started going to the meeting down there. This was maybe 15 years ago. Her name was Sister Sybil. I don't know if you know her. Some of you know her. It was Richard's aunt, one of his great aunts. And every time we missed the meeting, I would always, before I even could get back from where I was, there would always be a message on our phone from Sister Sybil. Oh, we missed you at the meeting today. You know, hope everything is okay. I always knew that she was going to check on us. And that was a real, she noticed when you weren't there. And I'll never forget during her brother Curtis's funeral, she went to the coffin, and as she turned around, she was looking to see who was there. And her eyes were wide open. She knew everyone that was there and who was not. And I'll bet she went home and called and said, I missed you today. And so there is this sense in which we are easily become focused on ourselves. So we can have that same heart that reaches out to tend to those who are in need, struggling. May the Lord use us for His glory in the building up of His church. Amen.
Amen.